Thank you, praise team. Let us pray. Father, thank you that we have this time now, that we can return to your word, what John the Revelator saw, Lord, what you are telling us is going to happen. And Lord, by knowing what is going to happen, we can prepare for what is going to happen. But Lord, our preparation should and must be centered and focused on you, being obedient, faithful servants to the Almighty God, our King and Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, as we hear this, please remove me from this and let your Spirit speak to each person as you would have them understand this, Father. And Lord, we know that whatever we hear, when we are in you, you will take care of us. So Father, we trust you with our very lives and our eternity. And thank you for pointing that out. And in Jesus Christ's name, I pray all of this. Amen. Well, now we're going to be in Revelation chapter 18. But again, as I do through the book of Revelation, I want to do a quick review of the books. Of course, we know the first three chapters are the letters to the seven churches. And then we have the first seven seals from the scroll, where only the Lamb was worthy to unseal the seals. And we see the four horsemen. We see in the fifth seal, the souls under the altar, earthquakes, darkened sun, moon, and stars. And then we see the angels given seven trumpets. The trumpets blow, and we see most of the earth's vegetation burn up, waters made bitter, sun and stars smitten, falling stars and plagues of locusts, released demons and a great army of 200 million. Then we see John eat a little scroll given to him by the angel. We see the two witnesses preach for 3.5 years, and we even see more earthquakes. In fact, we see more earthquakes in the book of Revelation than throughout all history. It's going to be concentrated. The seven bowl and vial judgments are then poured out upon the earth, including terrible sores upon men, the sea completely turning to blood, all the fresh water becoming blood, a burning sun scorching the blasphemous men upon the earth, darkness coming upon the seat of the beast's power, and the beast, of course, is the Antichrist. The Euphrates River drying up to become a great pathway for the kings of the east, and finally, the gathering of all the armies of the evil one at a place called Megiddo, or, as the book of Revelation calls, the place called Armageddon. The seventh bowl was then poured out, and a great earthquake came and divided the city into three parts as the rest of the cities fell to dust, and a great hail fell upon the remaining men upon the earth. Then we see the great harlot identified. We talked about last week as Babylon the Great, the mother of all harlots, spiritual and otherwise. She was cast down and eaten by the beast, who no longer had any use for her. She was the religious Babylonian identity. But also in this woman that we see riding the beast, we also see a secular Babylonian identity, the worldly system that is going to fall. And now we see that very end of this Babylon the Great, the mystery, the mother of harlots. Starting in verse 18, starting in verse 1, it says, "And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth have waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies." So this city, this system, has now been judged. And we saw last week how the beast itself, the worldly system that the beast is going to be in control over, and the false prophet and all these, turned and devoured this Babylon, this mother of harlots. But what did John see? He saw another angel. Man, there's angels popping out all over the place. And they're all pointing and doing the will of God Almighty, which should be an example to us. Regardless of what God calls us to do, we must be obedient and we must be faithful. It says that he saw this mighty angel full of power and glory, and it's so full of God's glory that it lightens the earth. Remember, there's been darkness on the earth, but now there is light because of this angel that comes, and he cries out what has already been cried out previously. Babylon is fallen. Is fallen. We have to understand that when things are repeated in the Bible, whatever chapter and verse they are repeated, God wants us to pay attention. There is coming a time when this world system, as identified as the harlot, the mother of all harlots, is going to die. It is going to crash. It is going to be burnt to a crisp. And all nations are going to weep because of it. They will not weep when a child is hurt. They will not weep when they understand the sin they have before Almighty God. But because they lose all their good things, then they weep. How backwards is that? Very backwards. So this angel proclaims the fate of the worldly secular Babylon, which has made the ungodly merchants of this world rich and powerful. There is nothing wrong with God giving you wisdom to be a good businessman. This is not what we're talking about. We're talking about those who will engage with this worldly system and use it to hurt other people in order to become rich and powerful. And what was left of this city, this Babylon, is a wasteland inhabited by all sorts of unclean spirits and demons. We know those four that were released, and then the three frog-looking demons that were released, and all the ungodly that is gathered around the beast's throne are spirits of wickedness and iniquity. And that word, it says nations, that word is in Greek is the word ethnon. That does not mean political body. That means people groups, races. Someone from all the races of the earth will be saved, but some from all the races of the earth will fall down before the beast and worship him. There is no race that is any better than any other. All may follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and all may reject him and follow the beast. And that's what's going to happen. And here's the sad part, brothers and sisters. This time comes, there will be people on the earth that still follow God. Now, this is after the rapture church. There's going to be people that are saved during the tribulation. And we're going to talk about them in just a minute. But these people will have family members, brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, children, grandchildren, who will willfully go after the beast. Will willfully trade their very eternities for a temporary falling, dying delicacy. It amazes me that people will be such fools as they will not see the very glory of God, the very gifts that He gives them, the very truth, and they will say, we want none of it. We would rather have what the beast offers. People wanted what she gives. Now remember, we're still talking future, but I'm also talking present, as we can also see in the past. The worldly system wants what the beast can give them. And now they have to face the consequences of their behaviors and their lusts. Brothers and sisters, why, and you've heard this before, but why do we want to give up what can never be taken away to have what can be taken away in an instant? Verse 4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her according to her works, in the cup which she hath filled to her double. how much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her, for she hath said in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Now this is God talking to those that believe in Him at that time. But I believe it applies to us today also. We heard another voice, and I believe this is the voice of either Jesus or the Father, because His command is for then and now. Come out of her, my people. An angel will not say, my people. This is either the Father or Jesus Himself. Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not her plagues. This mother of harlots is going to receive the judgment. And God is saying the very last time, get out of her. If you believe in me, if you follow me, don't have anything to do with her. Because if you do, you're going to receive the judgment. Now, some people will argue, well, this is not saying they're going to lose their salvation. It's just they won't get away from her, so they're going to be like collateral damage. You know, that's like any people get hurt. A bomb goes off to kill a target, and some innocent people are hanging out. They're going to be hurt. Well, I look differently, because if you are a friend of the world, you are an enemy of God. If you're willing to stand by this world, and even the world that is to come at this time that we read about, and God judges, who are you to blame? Don't blame God, because He's given you every chance to remove yourself from what is happening. All those who belong to God must not share in the world's iniquities or the wicked anti-God behaviors that are causing and will cause this world to be judged and condemned. God commands us not to be with the world so as not to receive her judgment also. Folks, we see it all around. You can't pray in public anymore in certain places, or else you will be arrested. Imagine that. You go to a public library and you try to pray, even silently, and they find out what you do and you will be asked to leave. But yet the same public library will host a drag queen story hour for kindergartners. Those are the leaders you people have voted for that allow this. I want to cry out to people that complain, but yet they vote the same people back into office over and over and over, and they expect different results. That is the definition of insanity. And there are a lot of people in my book, in this world, and including in the church as a whole, that are insane because they trust the world more than they trust God. If that's the case, get out! You don't belong here! However, God does not want anyone to perish. He wants all to come to repentance. So even though we see this, we don't participate, but at the same time, we pray and we beg and we preach the truth so that God may use what we say by the power of the Holy Spirit to allow that faith to be manifest in their life. Folks, I get angry. I think you can tell by my preaching. I shout sometimes. I tell jokes sometimes. I understand that. I may even tell one here in a few minutes, but I'm telling you, I don't joke about this. We as church members, as members of the body of Christ, we need to understand we are not to be partakers of the sins of the world. We are not to do what they do simply because they have pleasure. Yes, there is pleasure in sin for a season. I won't deny that. But when the choice comes down to being obedient to God and being obedient to the rest of the world can take a hike. They're not going to be there for me when I die. They're not going to be there for me in eternity. Only Christ will, because He loved me and He loves you. And He made a way that you do not have to be involved with these things. Now, let me make one point of clarification. I am not saying we have to go live in a cave somewhere. We don't have to wall up and start a monastery, although sometimes I think that might be appropriate. We don't have to. We are to be the light and the salt in this world. We are to be engaged in the world, but not to be engaged as part of the world. Do we understand that? We need to be what Christ wants us to be out there. That sign that says you're now entering the mission field is very, very true. Our mission field is everywhere. It could be as far away as Brazil, or it could be somewhere in Asia, or it could be somewhere in India, or somewhere in Europe, or it could be in our backyard. Odessa is a mission field. Higginsville is a mission field. Oak Grove is a mission field. Warrensburg is a very big mission field. Lexington is a mission field. The West Bottoms, it's a mission field. But you know, we have to have the wherewithal and the grace and the love for those that were just like us. You see, we can't sit back and say we're better than you. Why? Because we're not. We are sinners deserving hell, but we have been forgiven because of the faith and the mercy and the forgiveness and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus' command is easy. Get away from them. Come out of her, my people. You see, God remembers the sins of this world in every detail, and that scares me to death. God can remember sins that I committed that I can't remember. But yet I stand forgiving in the blood of Jesus Christ. But for those that are not in Jesus Christ, He also remembers every detail. Folks, that should scare the living daylights out of people. But you know why it doesn't? Because the fool has said in their heart there is no God. And if they're not worried about retribution, they have a practical atheism. They may say, oh, there's something out there, but in practicality, they don't believe that what God says is going to happen is going to happen. That's the old veil the devil puts over our faces when we try to understand things. But the world tells us what they're doing. They tell you flat out now, we don't like God. We hate God, and we hate everything that represented by God and His people. They will tell you that face to face now. Get away from them. Do not participate in their sin. Do not lie to yourself as the world lies to itself. The world lies to itself when it says it's a queen, a ruler who will share no hardship, a person who will not give an account for her actions, and a willful and purposeful killer of God's people as they reject His will and His word, both living and written. Brothers and sisters, that's the lie we all tell ourselves, especially when we're younger. Oh, I'm not going to get caught. Oh, I'm not going to be punished. Oh, I'm not going to have to suffer the consequences of my action. So Mom and Daddy get me out of it. You know, I can lie to the police. I can hide things. Brothers and sisters, nothing is hidden before the Lord. And if you die in your sin, you face the consequences. And if you're living in this time that we're talking about, you're going to face the consequences. Do not be a part of a system that says, we got it all figured out. All you got to do is love and be loved and let love and don't bother anybody. Yeah, they love that don't bother anybody unless you're bothering them. They can bother you all they want. They can shove things down our throats and cause things to come across our lives, and everything's hunky-dory. But the minute we stand up for what the Bible says, what the Lord Jesus Christ commands, we are the problem. Think about, and I mentioned it last week, think about old Harrison Butker. But you know, I think God has a sense of humor, because you know he's had the number one selling jersey in all the NFL over the last few weeks. And even the owners' daughter and wife have come up and said, yeah, he has the right to say what he wants. You know, we not only have a right as Christians, we have a duty and an obligation to speak the truth in all cases. You know, this is where current Christians have so much trouble. We see all the garbage around us and ask, as the souls under the altar ask, did under the fifth seal, how long, O Lord? God does not instantly zap sinners, but wishes them to come to repentance. You remember the old Greek mythology, and there was old Zeus sitting on a cloud, and he had the thunderbolts, and every time somebody got out of line, whack! Of course, we know that's nothing but mythology. And even if any of it was real, it was demonic. God wants everyone to come to repentance. Now, He knows some will, and He knows some won't. But He doesn't tell us who it is. So we're to preach the gospel to all creatures, great and small. All people need to hear the truth. He desires that people turn to Him. And some do, and praise God for that. Many don't. And they feel, as this Babylon felt, as a glorified queen in her sins. And John prays that God will double up the reward he has for this evil society. So what does the judgment look like that John is praying for? Verse 8, therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her. And when they see the smoke, when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off from the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour thy judgment is come. You remember how Jesus tells us that when He returns, it's going to be like a thief in the night. Boom, He's back. Well, guess what? Boom, judgment's going to fall just as fast. The merchants will be buying and selling. And it says living deliciously. Do you understand what that means? That means having access to all the dainties, the delicacies, the good things in life. Remember when we talked about the black horse with famine? And he's sitting with the scales, and he talks about spare the oil and the wine. Remember we talked about that? We see that was spared for the rich folks. And when I say rich folks here, I'm not talking about wealthy. Because God can bless you with wealth. No question about that. And if He does, God bless you. Use it for His kingdom. But I'm talking about those that believe they're rich and they're better and they're powerful and they're connected and they're the upper crust of society. There's nothing wrong with enjoying the good things in life that God has granted. Music, art, culture, all that good stuff. But when you become high, I've got it and you don't, and look how good I am because I have it and you don't, that is where you cross the line. And that's the kind of people we're talking about. The kings and the merchants that do these things. And this city, which is concentrated where all the power and the commercialism is fell in one day, and they start howling. Now, what can we liken that unto? Imagine if a place like New York or Chicago or Los Angeles or London or any place with a big financial center and suddenly it's wiped out. The only benefit I could see is we no longer would have to pay credit card payments, but that's a whole other story. It's wiped out. There can be no more buying and selling. You know, those that took the mark of the beast, they were the only ones allowed to have the wine and the oil. They were the only ones that were allowed to have the delicacies. They were the only ones that could live deliciously. And now it is gone in 1 hour. Kind of reminds us of someone that lives in a very nice multi-million dollar house. And through carelessness, their house burns down and they lose everything. Now that's sad. I understand that. But that's the kind of destruction that's going to come. This city, this Babylon, is going to be burnt to a crisp in one day. And all the people that committed spiritual and financial fornication with her will bewail her. They will throw themselves out of windows like we saw what in the world am I thinking of? My mind just went completely blank. The Depression, thank you, when the stock market fell. Somebody said, dip, dip, and I caught it from there. Thank you, whoever that unnamed brother and sister was. But they will kill themselves because they've lost everything. Folks, when you have nothing to lose, what have you lost? I don't want any part in this world. Now, yes, I want God to help continue to provide a home and income and everything to take care of my family. But when I'm dead, that's it. All I have is what God's given me after that, which is an eternity with Him, to rule and reign with Him. This world ain't got spit compared to that. And I'm thankful. And they're going to see the smoke of her torment. The city will be burned to the utmost. All the peoples of the world that engaged with her, who have sinned with her, will howl and wail over the sudden demise. No more goodies. No more wealth from her. No more power from her. They will weep and wail because she is no more. And thank God she is no more. Verse 11, "And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all thine wood and all manner of vessels of ivory and all manner of vessels of precious wood and of brass and of iron and of marble and cinnamon and odors," that means perfumes, "and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men." This Babylon, within its walls, shall we say, with the kings of the earth, were buying and selling the souls of men. Who in the world would do that? Of course, our modern Cincinnati say, we don't do that anymore. You know, in half the world, they still have slaves. And you don't think you ain't a slave? Don't file your 1040. Don't pay your property tax. Guess who it belongs to? Folks, we have an illusion that we are free and all that stuff. And you know, politically we may be able to make some arguments, but as long as we're drawing breath, we owe our life to someone, either God Almighty or Lucifer. And you don't even have to worship him or do anything. Just do nothing. And you still belong because you reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's interesting. This Babylon controlled the world's commerce. And when she is gone, there are no longer buyers for the goods the merchants sold through her. Not only can't you sell anything, you can't buy anything either. You can't buy food and perfumes and all this stuff. And no longer bought and sold are the souls of men. At this time, then we're free, truly. You see, men will sell their souls even though they don't sign a contract in blood like the old movies show. You know, the devil shows up and he looks like a magician in the tuxedo and all that stuff, and he's got on the white makeup and he rolls out a scroll and it says, here, just sign away, and poof, a bloody pen shows up. Now that's baloney. You know how you sell your soul? Do nothing. Go along with the world. You have given up what God has graciously given you, life, just to be a part of something that's going to end up in death. How stupid are we to do that? But yet it happens all the time. All these things. Men gave their very souls for the wealth and status Babylon offered to them. You see, not only were slaves bought and sold, the souls of men, but the merchants and the kings, they were slaves as souls of men also. They gave their soul to Babylon to receive the good things that she gave them. And I use that term good loosely. It's no more. Verse 14, "And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, alas, alas, the great city which was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls." All these little things that make life fun. The jewelry, the fancy clothes, the silk, the linens. All these things are no more. You know, I've been watching an interesting thing on YouTube. It's basically how pioneers lived and how they kept their food and without refrigeration and how they made things and stuff like that. Did you know that people, when they used to have root cellars with potatoes, they would put apples inside to keep the eyes from budding out? I never knew that. And you can keep hard-boiled eggs in a brine. Salty. It's like pickled eggs, okay? But it's still, and you can go with refrigeration for a year at a time. People were smarter than we give them credit for. But brothers and sisters, here's the scary thing. There's going to come a time when we have no more electricity, when we have no more shelter, When we have holes in the ground that we dig and arbors that we live in where we pile the brush on top of it, that's coming to this earth again. But it won't last very long. Because even though all these things we read in Revelation 18, in Revelation 19, the Lord comes back. And we'll get to that next Sunday. Continuing on. Imagine nowadays when only the crust of society would have certain things. You know, I get a kick that I just received, I saw it, an advertisement that for only $300,000, you can live on a cruise ship for the rest of your life and just cruise all over the world. Some of y'all are smiling and shaking your head. Y'all seen this too, haven't you? You know, and they show the picture of the wealthy couple, and they may be, have gray hair, and they're sitting toasting each other with champagne, and they sitting back, but you know, when the sea turns to blood, there ain't going to be no ships. All of it is temporary. And even if you don't make it to that point and you die, you're going to be dead somewhere off the coast of Kuala Lumpur or someplace like that. Don't ask me where that's at. My geography just went out my ear right then when I said those words. And when I say about the ships, think about this, verse 17. For in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught, and every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by the sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of a burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried and wept and wailed, saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein we made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour she is made desolate. So you had all these land merchants. We used to call them in the Navy feather merchants, camel merchants. We called them all kind of names because they were the ones that were having these big bulk carriers and ships that we used to chase all around the Pacific Ocean. And then you have these people here, which are those that come to ships, and now they have no place to dock. They have no place to put off their goods. They have no place for anything. You remember a couple of months ago when they had the supply chain problems that had all the cargo ships out in the Pacific off of Los Angeles and San Diego, some of y'all probably still have car parts waiting for because of that. But that's what it's going to be. They can't unload. The city's going to be destroyed. And so they're waiting, who is like the great city? Oh, we could have did this and we could have did that. No more. No more. And the sea, and remember folks, Revelation is not linear. So all this stuff is happening, a lot of it at the same time. Remember, under the bowl judgment, was the sea was completely turned to blood and everything in it died. There ain't going to be no trading by the sea. But then, it says this, verse 20, rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. So John is saying, rejoice over her, heaven. You know, I've seen a lot of bad things in my life. Individual tragedies, disasters, things of that nature. But you know, I've always thought there was something wrong with rejoicing over someone's misfortune. And I still believe that's true. But you see, this is different. This is different. This is God's word saying, heaven, you need to rejoice because Babylon is no more. And all the pain and all the terror and all the blood that was spilled and all the wickedness and iniquity and evil and all these things that happened because of this worldly system is no more. And we should rejoice over that because you know what's left when all that's gone? God. The body of Christ. They've tried everything, murder and everything else, beheadings and everything else to get rid of the people of God and the Word of God, and guess what? They can't. And there's a very common saying that I believe, if they could have, they already would have. But they didn't. Because they can't. God is standing beside His people. He is protecting His people. Yes, Christians suffer in the world. We are called into a faith where people hate God. But we stand strong because you know what? At the end of the day, at the end of the seals and the trumpets and the bowls, guess who's standing? It ain't the beast. It ain't the false prophet. And God be praised, it sure ain't Lucifer. It is Christ and His people that have been faithful to Him, that is awaiting His return. And that's what we're going to get to next week. We're going to talk about a good Baptist subject. A dinner on the ground in heaven. The marriage supper of the Lamb. And we'll talk about His return too. But we got to finish this chapter. You know, the mighty angel throws a millstone. Now, how many of y'all have ever been to a grist mill? Or a sorghum mill? You know they have those big stones. Sometimes they're pulled by mules, okay? And you got to put the feed bag on the mule to keep him walking around. But those stones are not tiny little stones. These things are huge, piano-sized stones that grind against each other. One is stationary and the top one is rotated and it grinds all these things. And this angel took one of these great millstones and he threw it into the sea. Now, how many of y'all skip rocks on water? A little bit more than sawmills, I guess. But when it splashes, it's a huge splash. And that indicates just how this Babylon is going to fall. All at once, big splash, boom, then it sinks and it's gone forever. Praise God for that. Let me put it this way. I feel sorry for all those that are going to have to undergo this simply because they don't want to believe. But at the same time, I feel sorry for them. I'm not going to shed a tear for them. Because these people at that time and even today who know the gospel but yet reject it, it's on their own head. We plant seeds. God waters. He brings the increase. But until that time, we are to preach the gospel. We're to love on people. We're to be merciful. We're to be forgiving. We're to be Christ to those people. To each other, yes. The church, yes. But to all those God puts in our path. So that some may believe. You see, when this city falls, all the good things they had. Let's go to verse 22. And the voice of harpers and musicians and pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman of whatsoever crafty be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of the millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And it was and in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. It's not God's fault all this happened. It's man's choice to rebel and reject the mercy of Almighty God. And all the normal things, the celebratory things, the musicians and the trumpeters. I had one old preacher say at the time, well, he could understand the pipers, especially if they were bagpipes, but that's another story. There's going to be no more work, no more millstone, no more living. The light of the candle, which represented home life, and then the bridegroom and the bride, there's no more future. It's all gone. And why? Because by the sorceries were all nations. No more will this city and what it represents will have any light or life within it, physical. It is dead and destroyed. Only eternal judgment awaits those inhabitants who attacked and desolated the people of God for their own pleasures and their own profits. Woe be unto them who follow that wide path into the very gates of perdition. There's a reason Jesus said that the wide path leadeth to destruction. Therefore, enter by the narrow gate, the narrow way. We used to preach that and sing that all the time, but now we've got so accustomed to going along with everybody, that narrow gate seems farther and farther away. But brothers and sisters, we have got to go that way. Because the end of the broad path is the lake of fire. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he shall reap. The words of Apostle Paul. Back in Galatians, he's telling folks, you think you can get away with it now, but all this stuff, if you don't repent and believe, is going to fall upon your head. And we sit around like, well, if God's a God of love, He's not really going to do that stuff. Ask the people in Noah's day. Ask the people in Jerusalem when the Babylonians came. Ask the people all across the world that fall into sin and iniquity, and they are destroyed. I had a preacher one time say, you know, he challenged atheists and he challenged non-believers to come up with a group of people who would show by their lives that what they believe has actually helped them. Oh yeah, they had some people say, well, I'm rich and I'm this and that and ever. But when you dig into their lives, they've had a lot more problems. And then he gathered over 100,000 signatures of people who were willing to proclaim the good that God has given them. Pretty big variation, don't you think? And all this woe is because of their rejection of God and the abuse of His people here on earth. And that's the reason it's going to occur. The teachings, as we said, from Galatians show us, man sows evil and wickedness, and man reaps hell and damnation upon himself, even after all the opportunities God gave him for forgiveness and mercy. You know, it's interesting to note that John says that all the earth was fooled by the sorceries coming forth from the evil rulers, merchants, and the interconnectivity between them and Babylon the fallen. Do you know that word, sorceries, in Greek is pharmakia? Drugs. Don't be fooled, folks. That's why marijuana is legalized. And I'm not talking about somebody who's dying of cancer or burns or whatever. I'm talking about somebody who just, he wants to feel good. Folks, that's a start. But we also know about the crack and the heroin and the LSD and all these things. We used to watch the films in high school. You remember sitting in health class and you had the little thing and it would be a film and a tape recorder, and every time the tape recorder would go, boom, you had to turn the film. How many of y'all remember that? Well, I'm old. That's the film. And man, every time the teacher would bring that film camera in there, we were good because we were going to see a film that day. But it's pharmakia. The drugs, but folks, drugs can be more than chemicals. It can be more than alcohol. It can be anything that gives you an altered perception of reality to where you think you're better off than you actually are. And the Bible calls it sorceries, witchcraft. And if you know anything about witchcraft, you know that they use a lot of chemicals. They use a lot of potions and evil incantations and things of that nature. Okay, folks, there ain't no such thing as a good witch or a white witch. There ain't. If you reject God, it don't matter what religion you are. You're not of God. And your influence is of and from the enemy. That's why we cannot be part of this world. That's why we cannot commit spiritual and physical fornication with this worldly system. We are to come out from her, my people. God calls us by our name. We are His people, and we are to come out from her, and we're not to be engaged with all the evil sorceries and all the evil wickedness and all the fornication, whether spiritual or financial or physical or whatever. We are not to be part of this great harlot. And we need to think of it in that manner. You know, one time, I might not be able to say this, but one time I was coming out of a restaurant in Honolulu when I was in the service. And I called a cab because you had to have a cab to go back to the base gates. And so the guy pulled up and I opened the back door and I got hit with this huge wall of perfume. And sitting in this back seat with this slightly dressed young woman, and she was pulling one of these numbers, scared me to death. I ain't never seen nothing like that. You know what I did? I closed the door and said, I'll get the next one. At least God gave me common sense. Told you I was going to tell a joke, didn't I? Or a funny story. But the point is, if you recognize something for what it is, get away from it. If you know it's evil, get away from it. Pray, and God will cause you to recognize a way out. If it's dropping everything and running like a scalded chicken, do it. Because what's in the world is not for the people of God. We are to come out from her, His people, and dedicate our lives to His service. You see, brothers and sisters, power and wealth are so easily used for a narcotic type of effect that deadens the person for the need for truth, justice, righteousness, and sacrificial love, all of which we learn from God. But it's not just the chemicals. It's the status. It's the power. It's, I've got this and you don't. I'm a better person than you because you did this and I did this. Guys, all of that are sorceries. And these things were not seen in Babylon, nor among the rulers and merchants of the earth any longer. Oh, excuse me one second. The devil's trying to shut me up. I'm sorry about that. I'd rather drink it than cough into the microphone. I think y'all would appreciate that. But brothers and sisters, even now God offers the love and forgiveness needed to escape the punishment that we see here. So my charge is to repent and believe. You know, the young ladies that we had this morning, I charged them to never lose their focus on God. I want to charge everybody with that. Don't believe what the world is selling, because they will lie to you in a heartbeat to get whatever they can out of you. And then just like Babylon, mystery Babylon the Great, they will chew you up and spit you out. But we don't have to go through that. We can trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. We used to sing that all the time. We still sing it on occasion. But brothers and sisters, think about those words. We trust the Lord in this life and in the next life and in all of our futures. Turn from the world, brothers and sisters. Come out from her, all you people of God. Do not be with her when the judgment falls. Praise team. You know, we've covered a lot of things that sound harsh, but I'm here to give you hope. Because next week, as I alluded to, Jesus comes back. Our faith will be made sight for those that are here. You know, I joke sometimes, and because I want that trumpet to sound. I pray with John, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Even so, quickly, Lord Jesus. Now, we got to remember, His time and our time ain't the same. So it might be 30 seconds to Him, but it might be another 100 years. I don't think we got that much longer because of the way the world's going, but that's just my personal opinion. I do not dare predict when things will happen. But brothers and sisters, I know that you have to be ready because it might happen tomorrow. How many of us have loved ones where one minute we're talking with them, we're laughing with them, we're holding their hands, and the next minute they're in eternity? We're not promised tomorrow. But we are promised that He will be with us in our todays. Do you know Him? Is God calling upon you to reset and go back to Him? We used to call it rededicating. I really don't like that because if you're dedicated to God, you're always dedicated to God. But we do have times where we walk the opposite direction. And we can turn around and refresh our relationship through the power of the Holy Spirit with God. If God is calling you to do that, let's do it. If God is calling you to have faith, period, where you didn't really believe, you've always been questioning and you want to know, am I doing the right thing? Well, God is telling you the right thing to do. What do you do, old man? but to love justice, do mercy, and walk humbly before your God. To walk humbly before your God means you believe Him and what He tells you to do. So if you don't know Him, you have brothers and sisters here today that will share Him with you. I'll pray with you, whatever. But you have to repent and believe. And if you are a brother and sister in Christ, don't give up hope when you see what you see in this world. I almost said a bad word, brother. I got to be careful. When you see the things you see in this world, and you know it is from the evil one. But you don't need to worry. Because as the Bible tells us, greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Do not ever forget that. Pray when you need to. Clap when you need to. Rejoice when you need to. Weep when you need to. But never forget, you are His. And He tells you, come out from her, my people. And do not be with her. Never forget that.